England's cricket team is in a world of hurt right now, and on the surface, it looks like form, selection, or even luck. But look a little deeper, and you start to see something far more important: identity. The thing that holds a team together when pressure hits, when results turn, and when the outside noise ramps up. And ironically, it took someone outside the baseball bubble to show them exactly what they lost. In today's episode, we break down why England's struggles go far beyond tactics or execution. We explore what happens when a team drifts from its identity, why high-performance environments fall apart when the story no longer matches the behaviour, and how quickly confidence can erode when people stop believing in who they are. More importantly, we take this straight into your world, whether you're leading a team, coaching young athletes, or navigating your own performance, because the moment you lose your identity, outcomes become unpredictable, and when you reclaim it, everything sharpens. Purpose, decision-making, execution, and belief. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. You'll hear plenty more on the Ashes in the Weekend Review episode, which is tomorrow. Will be the next episode when it exactly drops, hopefully tomorrow. But I just want to talk about something I noticed, and I think England have got an identity problem. They're this team that's Bazball, and everyone thinks they know what that stands for, but just watching what they've done in the first two matches, I think that's the problem. It's identity. You look at Australia. They've come from that post-sandpaper gate era going, we can't tolerate this anymore. So they're playing how they want to play. Pat Cummins has made them the good guys. They still play hard cricket, but they're doing it with a smile. They're doing it without being disrespectful. Plenty of them supporting a whole lot of different causes, and whether you think about that or not, at least they know who they are. And the important thing is that they are really clear that they let every single player turn up as themselves and operate as themselves and give them that freedom to be themselves and carry on how they carry on. And there's a lot of unique personalities in every sporting team, and the Australian cricket team's no different. They also talk about how some of the new players have said how welcoming it is now, and when they come in they feel instantly part of the team. That definitely hasn't been the case in cricket teams in Australia. If you listen back to some of the older guys talking about when they came in and how it was actually toxic coming into a new team, how they got treated by the older guys, the veterans, and I've heard some stories from guys even in the last 10 years that there was certainly some of that happening as well. It's not the case now. They know who they are, and again, that freedom for each individual to shine. Really interesting observation from, I think it was Steve Harmison, or actually, the name will come to me, but it was someone, an English pundit, and he was saying that they've been brainwashed into this cult, this baseball cult, to play how they've been told to play. And the example was used, it's like Will Jacks comes in, and he just plays his own way. And he was probably second to Ben Stokes, the most impressive performer for England that recent test match. And because he batted with a bit of tenacity, he batted with a bit of determination. He wasn't playing shots that were undervaluing the wicket. Sure, he played aggressively, and he looked for opportunities to score quickly, but he also respected the bowling, and he grafted out an innings. He batted time, and then when the ball was out of hit, he hit it. And this is a guy who's been outside of this baseball bubble for so long. And the theory was, and again, I thought the name would come to me, it might have been Vaughney, it was one of those English pundits, basically saying it took someone to come outside that bubble to come in and almost reinvent how they play. But everyone else who's been inside that bubble has just played the same way again and again. They've been told this is how we're going to play. And that doesn't sound like giving each individual the freedom to play. They talk about it, but it's always been, we're going to play ultra aggressive, we're going to entertain the fans, all that sort of stuff. Well, that doesn't leave space for the player who actually likes things to be a bit more certain, to be a bit more consistent, and they want to play a certain way. And I just think now that things have gone awry again for the English cricket team, they're a bit lost. And on that last day, they start playing more of that traditional test cricket, and they do quite well. And they're probably only one partnership away for putting more pressure on Australia with a bit of a chase. But because it had been left to the guys batting it for the seventh wicket when they're already six down, makes it hard. Only one mistake, as it turned out, it was a screamer from Steve Smith at slip. It only takes one mistake and suddenly they're under the pump. That suddenly puts more pressure on Stokes. Then he nicks one. Game over. So what do they do now? Do they go all out attack again? Do they realise that, mind-boggling, that the batting coach, Marcus Trescothick, comes out and says, we haven't talked about not driving on the up in Australia specifically. It's like, everyone who heard that's like, you must be joking. Surely that is not true, because every team that comes here that's done well has had a lot of really good preparation. The Indians, when they won two tours back, the English, when they won in 10-11, they came out here, they played on our hard, bouncy pitches, they got games under their belt, and they were ready to go. Instead, this team, they come late, they choose their preparation, they play on a low, flatter pitch, Lilac Hill, which apparently is very different to the Perth pitch. They play a lot of golf, that's fine, the Australians do as well. But they're not ready. They're not ready for these conditions, and they continue to play shots that you just shouldn't play in Australia. The great man Sachin Tendulkar came out here and scored 240, and unfortunately I was there for a day and a half of that innings in Sydney in extreme heat, for those that were there will remember it, where he just put away the cover drive and he just played slowly and boring, and he just ground us to death. Put away the drive. He didn't play any of those shots. It's like, I'm just going to play this way. I'm going to make it really simple. And this might be boycott talking. And he goes, like, who are they to think that they've got a better plan than the little master, Sachin Tendulkar? So again, where do they go now? Do they then go, okay, well, we're going to stick to our identity, which is clearly not working under these conditions? Or do they change? And again, where does that leave them in terms of identity? Where does each of them, who have been in that team for a long time, where do they sit in terms of how they're going to show up? Like, do they then go, oh, I need to be more true to me? Do I need to be doing something different? It's going to create so many questions in their head. It's going to be really fascinating to watch. It's obviously a lot more enjoyable for us who are Australian fans, because we get to watch our team doing really well. Again, probably better than any of us could have expected, given we had Cummins and Hazelwood out and our batting had been quite fragile. But just in terms of purely as a contest and watching it as a sports fan unfold, it's fascinating. And you just can't help but think, I mean, there's been that many high-quality memes going out over the last couple of weeks, even since that first test. Just, like, none of it makes sense. How they're playing, how they continue to make these same mistakes, how they've continued to talk themselves up, how there seems to be no accountability. That seems to be the most common message after the second test, is that they can just go out there and make mistakes and there's no one holding them to account. It's all well and good to be positive, but sometimes anyone who knows played any sport, and anyone who's played any sport in Australia, is that sometimes you just need to be told in no uncertain terms that you're not doing it as you need to be doing it. You're not performing at the level you need to be, and sometimes that needs to be aired publicly, whether it's in a team environment or at this level. Come out and own it. Oh, amateur error. Excuse the alarm. Yeah, so identity. And you hear me talk about this a lot, how important it is in terms of the individual and then in a team environment, whether that team for you is your family, your partnership, whether that's a intimate relationship or someone you work with. Of course, in a business environment, in a corporate environment, sporting team, knowing who you are and how you operate and knowing what the team identity is and then making sure everyone's pulling in that same direction, it's crucial. I was flicking through some old podcast episodes just this morning, and Darren Holder, who came on, who's worked with the Broncos, he's worked with the QRL, with Swimming Australia, Fremantle, he was at the Raiders this year. Like, so he's had success everywhere he's gone as the coach of the coaches. One of the most important quotes from that chat I had with him way back on, I think it was around episode 49, was every team or organization that's had success, it all comes back to that same thing, and that's alignment. And alignment means knowing who you are collectively, individually and collectively. And I think they've lost sight of that. I think they thought they knew. I think it works in certain situations. It's not like they're down on ability. They've got some unbelievable players in that team. Unbelievable talent. But they just can't get it done. So identity is something that I see that is a problem when things aren't going well. So as always, the thought for you is, where are things going wrong for me when I'm either not being true to myself or I'm not letting someone else in my team be true to themselves, or collectively we don't even know what we represent. We don't know what our values are. We don't know what our mission is. We don't know where we're heading. We don't know what we want. I talked to people very early on in the coaching process of like, what's your vision? Like, where are you heading? And they're like, I kind of want to do this and this and this. Often they've been thinking about that for years. They've taken no action on it. They don't have any detail. Like, we just need to know these things. That's how we find alignment. That's how we find results. Personally, I'm more than happy if England don't find that alignment and they don't come back. I'm happy if we just continue on our merry way winning. But I think for the long term, it would be great, of course, to have a build-up like we had to this one. It is disappointing that it hasn't been close up, but it's not like they haven't had their moments in both matches. They've had moments in both of the first two test matches where if they'd played their cards right, then they would have been on top of the game, but they just didn't know those big moments. And I can't help but think if they had more clarity on how each of them was going to perform as an individual, that would be completely different. Love to hear your thoughts as always. Shoot me a message, an email. You'll hear on the Week in Review this week that we're offering an opportunity for people to come on, to send an audition in and come on the podcast to share their views. But you don't, if you're not that sort of person, you're not that way inclined, and you don't want to come on and bare your soul in front of the mic, then just send me a message or jump on to one of my socials and let me know your thoughts. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.